she has this smirk. I don't know how to explain it. I've now been in courtrooms with her probably 25 to 30 times now between the trial and the various sentences and hearings. And she has this smirk, like she's just in control, even when she's not.
Hey everyone, this is Jillian, and you are listening to a Court Junkie case update episode. Today, I'm going to go over a major update in the case of Kelly Cochran, a woman who was convicted in February 2017 for the first-degree murder of Christopher Regan, a man with whom Kelly had been having an affair. I covered this case in episode 34, so if you haven't listened to that episode yet, I'd recommend listening to that one first before listening to this one. Also, just a quick note, as I'm recording this, I'm currently 9 months pregnant and feeling a little bit under the weather, so my voice may sound a little different than it normally does, so please bear with me. Here's what I covered in episode 34. In October 2014, 53-year-old Chris Regan went missing from Iron River, Michigan. Investigators discovered that he had been involved in a relationship at the time with a married woman, Kelly Cochran. Kelly and her husband, Jason Cochran, were interviewed by police, but both insisted that they had nothing to do with it. In fact, they claimed that Jason knew about the affair, and although he wasn't happy with it, he put up with it. The investigation continued on for over a year. And then, in February 2016, while Kelly and Jason were living in Indiana, Jason Cochran passed away under mysterious circumstances. And afterwards, Kelly finally admitted that she had played a part in Chris's disappearance, but she blamed Jason for killing him, saying she had only helped dispose of the body afterwards, out of fear. But Kelly was charged with the murder of Chris Regan, as well as the murder of her husband, Jason. At her trial for Chris's murder, Kelly claimed that it was Jason who had killed Chris. She told the jury that she had suffered years of abuse at the hands of her husband, and that after she had witnessed Jason kill Chris, she had no choice but to make him dinner, as Jason then dismembered the body in their basement. It was a story that the jury clearly didn't believe. She was convicted and sentenced to life without parole. And as for Jason's murder, according to the probable cause affidavit, Kelly told Detective Jeremy Ogden, the lead detective in the case, that she had been thinking about killing Jason for a long time, at least since October 2014. She said she had even considered killing Jason instead of Chris. When describing how she did it, she first asked Detective Ogden what the most painful way to die is, before answering it herself, saying drowning or suffocating is. But despite Kelly's confession, she initially pleaded not guilty to Jason's murder and was scheduled to go to trial for that this year. And that's where we left off in episode 34. Well, just this past April, Kelly again changed her mind and pleaded guilty to murdering Jason.
He was murdered by asphyxia, by a strangulation, with complications of heroin intoxication. What she has said is that she shot him up with heroin, but it wasn't going fast enough, so she covered his mouth and nose and neck with her hands and killed him.
MJ Dolmage lives in Michigan, where this case occurred, and is in the process of finalizing a book she wrote about the case. MJ started writing her book, called Cold from the Inside, right after Jason died. She has spoken to witnesses, friends of the Cochrans, and even the detectives who were involved in the case. She also attended Kelly's trial. And as for how she first became involved with the case, well, she is friends with Walt, who you may remember from episode 34. Walt was a friend of Jason and Kelly's who worked closely with law enforcement after Jason died. In a recorded phone call, Walt had called Kelly and told her that before Jason died, Jason had sent him a letter with instructions to turn it over to the Iron River police if anything ever happened to him. This wasn't true. He never received any such letter, but Kelly's panicked reaction was recorded, and Walt testified at Kelly's trial. MJ attended Kelly's sentencing hearing this past May, after Kelly reached a plea deal with prosecutors. Kelly's plea agreement would essentially put her in jail for what's likely to be the rest of her life, but it also grants her something.
Basically, it's 65 years in prison to run consecutively with the Michigan sentence. They were really specific about that because they don't want her to ever get out of jail. So if something would happen to the Michigan, say an appeal went through, God forbid, that she would not get out of jail. 65 years, she's 35 now, I think. So, you know, she's not going to make it out. And she said that day that she accepts that she's going to die in prison. There were a couple additional things, but the main one is that, and the most interesting, frankly, that she has basically immunity from any other crimes committed in Indiana.
Immunity from being prosecuted in other cases is actually pretty significant, because it's been rumored that Kelly may have killed before, but not just in Indiana. There may be other victims in several other states.
Two lead investigators between the Regan and the Jason Cochran murders both believe that they could not have gotten away with Chris Regan's with such little evidence in the Chris Regan murder without having done it before. They feel very strongly about that. And they're hoping that eventually she'll, they have some specific things that they're looking at. So hopefully that would eventually entice her to talk about those.
At Kelly's sentencing for Jason's murder, Kelly's demeanor was very similar to when she testified at trial for Chris's murder.
She has this smirk, like she's just in control, even when she's not. Her demeanor kind of altered between that smirk, and then there were probably about 7 or 8 people that had to see the judge ahead of her, so but she was still sitting in the courtroom. So I watched her fairly closely, and she was fascinated with the court goings on. There was one woman that was before the court and trying to plead to a lesser sentence, and she seemed incredibly remorseful, and she was very tearful. And Kelly looked at that and just rolled her eyes and just seemed disgusted. And, you know, she doesn't have tolerance for weakness, I think. And so that was really interesting. But then the smirk came back after she left.
Detective Jeremy Ogden, who is now retired, had requested to testify at Kelly's sentencing, something that was a little unusual, but the judge allowed it.
Basically just wanted to tell everyone, make sure that they understood that she was manipulative, that she was sadistic, she was intelligent. And he wanted to make sure that people understood that, especially the manipulative part, I think, because he didn't know what was coming next. And then, he still expects, I think, to eventually get names of more people that she's killed. So he wanted to make sure that that was taken into account in the sentencing.
Kelly then read a statement to the court, a statement that was mostly about herself.
She did read a statement during the proceeding, and it was a long, rambling statement about she apologized to her parents. She apologized to Jason's parents. She did take complete responsibility for Jason's murder. But then it was honestly odd to me, for someone that everyone, including her lawyer, says is so intelligent, and I believe that she is. But, you know, as an aside, she, at the beginning, before they started reading the plea, they had redrafted it, and she had fixed 6 different spots in the plea that were wrong for dates and spellings and that kind of thing. The state didn't catch it. Her lawyer didn't catch it. She did. So she's no dummy. But she read this statement, and it was long and rambling about how many days she'd spent in different lockups and different things and different places in jail, and how she, I don't know if that was an attempt for sympathy, or I'm not entirely clear on what it was all about.
So in addition to potentially trying to get sympathy for how long she had already spent in prison, she also again placed blame on Jason.
She said that she misses Jason regardless of what he did to me. And she talked about how they could be happy one minute, and then she could watch the change happen in his eyes to becoming a monster.
Jason's family also spoke, but through a statement given to prosecutors.
They did not speak, but they did have the prosecutors read a statement. They basically said that they didn't forgive her, and they said that Jason wanted to be buried and she had him cremated, and then especially will never forgive her for that. They said that it was a senseless loss, that she had always made everything about her, that she moved into the furthest and most secluded place that she could think of, and the Cochran family had actually bought their house there in Cassian, which is right outside Iron River, Michigan. And now, after all of this has happened, Jason can't even defend himself against all the allegations. Begged her to stop all the lies and said that they know he's in a better place.
As Kelly was about to be sentenced, the judge then had a few words to say himself.
It was very interesting when the judge actually sentenced her. He told her that, you know, you called Jason a monster, and most of the people in this courtroom would probably say that you're the monster.
Also interesting was that the judge seemed conflicted about the sentencing.
He got to his portion and he said, I have some concerns about whether this is enough, meaning the 65 years. And I thought, oh boy. And I think there was sort of a collective, shift in the courtroom. He said it was an unusual situation, and they rarely have pleas to homicide. And he was worried that because of the immunity plea in Indiana, if they were making too quick of a decision, and wondered, does she deserve the greater penalty? And that was, which they do have the death penalty in Indiana. So they sort of had a sidebar. All the lawyers went up to the judge and they kind of discussed. And while, like I said, I know several people believe that she has additional victims, there's no evidence currently on any of that. It really is based on circumstantial evidence and her word. So he went ahead and accepted the plea.
After Kelly was sentenced this past May, the case was back in the news. And I mean all over the news. And for a very salacious reason. I went back and forth about discussing this with MJ because I don't want to give any validity towards it. But in the end, I decided I had to ask, since it had publicly come up and everyone seemed to be talking about it. You may have seen the articles going around saying that Kelly may have cooked and served Chris Regan's remains at a barbecue, which sounds like something out of a horror movie. But where did that even come from? And more importantly, was it true?
All of that is really completely unsubstantiated. And I'll be honest in that, I thought it was just small town rumor until in talking to Chief Frizzo, the way that came out was that their neighbors, the Saylor family, had been feeding the Cochrans quite often because both of them were unemployed and they were really, really broke. And so they would come over to dinner super often, but they never got reciprocal invitations for dinner. And all of a sudden, sometime in October, they got really close together, three invitations to dinner, and the meals were mostly meat. So you can take that as those are the facts. But that was also the interview when talking about that, in which Chief Frizzo realized that it was possible that Costa Rican had been dismembered. So that's what I know.
So whether or not it's true has yet to be determined. But we know that it originated from the neighbors' interviews with detectives, and that at the very least, it gave the police the idea that Chris had been dismembered in the first place. As for what's next in the Kelly Cochran saga, Chief Frizzo and Detective Ogden don't believe they are finished.
You know, this case particularly is done. Jason Cochran's murder has had a conviction of Kelly. But for future cases regarding Kelly, I suspect that there will be people looking into that for some time to come.
So the big question is, are there other victims out there of Kelly Cochran's that we just don't know about yet? The answer is that it's definitely possible, and that it's definitely still being looked into by the police. This is a case I'll continue to follow, and I'll post another update if another update ever comes. I want to thank MJ for talking about the sentencing with me, and if you'd like to get a copy of her book and learn more about it, go to facebook.com/coldfromtheinside. As a reminder, I'm currently on maternity leave until August 20th, so thank you for your patience. In the meantime, feel free to join my Court Junkie discussion group on Facebook by going to courtjunkie.com/Facebook. You can follow me on Twitter at courtjunkiepod, and you can follow me on Instagram at courtjunkie. Thanks for listening. Until next time.